Well. People have almost become, I suppose, to some extent, desensitized when it comes to load shedding, when it comes to problems and woes at Eskom. I know many people who don't even bother to follow the developments at Eskom anymore. It's like, what's going to change? We just need to know when the load shedding is going to hit us so we can prepare accordingly. Where are we at the moment and why are we here? Joining us on the line, we have energy expert Ted Blom. Ted, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Radio Islam International once again.
Hi, good morning.
Well, we know there's a long history and we know there's a lot of detail, but currently this wave of load shedding, if I can describe it that way, what's primarily the reason behind it?
I think most of the problems relate to the fact that under the new leadership, Eskom has not been maintaining the plant as they're supposed to have been maintaining. In fact, I'm aware there's been major budgetary issues, budget cuts and so on. You'll recall that the leadership of Eskom boasted towards the end of last year that they've managed to repay 82 billion rand of that 480 billion rand debt. All that comes back to money that has been changed as far as allocations are concerned, and the money seems to have been directed more towards paying debt than to actually keep the plant running.
So would you then say that at least some of the criticism directed at De Reiter is valid? His opponents have said if he was a black man, he would long be gone. His supporters have said, well, the corruption runs so deep in Eskom. Trucks of coal go missing, they sabotage. You can't really blame the man. He's trying the best that he can under the circumstances. How do you analyze his and his team's performance?
Well, I think if you want to be in the kitchen, then you must be able to take the heat. I think that's the first lesson. So all these excuses about this and that and his corruption, there's not an industry in South Africa today where there is no corruption. If you're in the building industry, you've got those heists that the people come and hijack your project and want to demand money and demand jobs. If you're in the mining industry, you've got zammers all over the show doing their own mining. It's a fact of life, unfortunately, but that's where we are. For the CEO to complain about being hijacked or not being able to do the job, well, if you can't do the job, you must get out of the kitchen. It's as simple as that. To say that he didn't know that things were going to be rough and that just shows that he's either naive or didn't do his homework. But he applied for that job. Despite him now denying that he applied for the job, he actually applied for the job. Pravin Gordhan said his application was the best, but it was even included in a video telling him how well he's going to organize things, chop, and so on. So, no, I've got no sympathy.
Realistically speaking, though, Ted, is there anyone that can turn around Eskom in the short term, quickly, or is there only a long-term fix?
No. If you do the basic, if you don't do Eskom, if you hadn't messed with the budget, just on the morale, you've got to, Eskom is complicated in terms of its culture and so on. It might not have the most ethical culture at the moment, and that will take time to change. But if you just focus on doing the job that's required from a technical and engineering type of business, I think that within the space of a year, things could have been far better. And Mr. Kokko has proved that. Mr. Kokko inherited the organization that was load shedding, that had problems with the coal, etc., and he still had political interference from sides, from the Zuma side and from the Ramaphosa side. So and he managed to get the people on sides. He managed to get the EAF up by more than 10%. And that's all that's required. You need somebody who understands what's required and does it. But the moment you lose respect of your people at Eskom, that's the end.
So as consumers, as residents, as citizens, what should we brace ourselves for? Is load shedding part of part and parcel of especially the South African winters? Is it going to be a continuous cycle of stage 2 and stage 4 load shedding? Or are we really going to face the possibility of stage 6 or even higher?
Well, The minister has already said that there's no crisis because there's provision for up to level 8 load shedding. In fact, there's even a rumor that Eskom's busy working on level 12 load shedding, where you'll have more than half the day off. Let's put it this way. Let's be, I mean, I don't want to be alarmist, but let's be blunt and honest with the people. The fact of the matter is that for the foreseeable future, load shedding will be part of your weekly life, if not your daily life. Eskom's own schedule for the next year shows 48 weeks of load shedding, and that's what they haven't told the public. And the problem is a lot of the public and the press, if they open their eyes, they'd see what's going on, but they don't want to do that. They're either embedded or they're bought or whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but they always want to sort of, gloss over the problems at Eskom. The problems at Eskom run severe and deep. I uncovered the corruption in 2006. It was only in 2015 that the public protector put out the report on the corruption. And it's more than 5 years later that the Zondo Commission sort of got going. It's a very, very slow process. And as I said, for the foreseeable future, for the next 48 weeks, at least on Eskom's own schedules, there's a very high likelihood of load shedding. In fact, there's only 5 weeks where Eskom doesn't indicate load shedding under its most probable scenario. Under its worst-case scenario, it's load shedding every week.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Energy expert Ted Blom giving us the latest in terms of where we are with Eskom.